Dean Bulldog Ritchie is about to join us this morning. In fact, I've been told it's not Dean Ritchie anymore. It's Stephen Ritchie, courtesy of the great James Cummings of Godolphin. Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Incorrect, as always. No homework done. James came on the show and he said he got the letters ST out and then he went Dean. But then he over-exaggerated after that by calling me Dean every sentence. So it was sort of like a Steen. Oh. First man on the text line was John Cartwright. Mm. Carty. So, oh, hey, Steve, how are you going?
Steve.
So there you
morning.
Go.
You're big in the racing industry, aren't you, Steve?
Yes, I am. Huh? I am. Mm. How are we? Mate, what about today? I read the Garlow's Pie ad every Sunday. I know it off by heart, but I never get a Garlow's Pie because they come in on the Thursday.
Right.
Tomorrow's a public holiday. So guess what's in the kitchen? Garlow's. In the oven, already piping hot.
And you get a murder one on the way out, aren't you?
It's a bit like the old beer scenario, Laurie. How early is it to have a pie? When your body is expecting some breakfast.
That's exactly right. And your body only sees three things, apparently.
What's that?
Protein, fats and carbohydrates.
Well, my body must be blind. It sees none of the three.
I see three other things as well.
Oh, I don't see that.
So anyway, on the way out, what if I could just slip one into the back pocket?
Protein,
yeah.
Carbohydrates, right. Fats.
Fats, right, there might be one. What are the other two?
Protein and carbohydrates.
You don't like them.
I eat protein.
In what?
Meat.
Right, okay. You must be making a lot of money. I went to the butcher today. It cost about $90 to walk out with a leg of lamb the other day.
Well, I don't go to the butcher. My wife might go to the butcher. But you'd be like me. You don't go to the butcher, do you?
Corey, I'm a new age guy. That's how I roll, mate. I shop. I do all sorts of things.
Oh, you're single, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
So if you don't go to the shops, you don't eat.
Well, that's also an issue.
Yeah.
How many times will a bloke go to the cupboard during the day, knowing he hasn't shopped, and there's nothing in there, but I'll still open the cupboard up, mate.
Do it all the time.
Wonder if a muesli bar's just slipped in somehow, some way.
Muesli bar.
Or whatever it
things.
Might be.
What are you talking, muesli bar?
I eat muesli bars.
Mate, you wouldn't eat muesli.
I do.
How's home and away going, by the way?
It's been powerful lately.
Yeah.
We had a wedding last week. And
okay.
Tane's in trouble.
Falling.
Oh, he stole a baby. Yeah, silly bugger. I don't know what got into him.
Oh, who's the old fella?
Alf.
Alf, is he still there?
Yeah, don't say, is he still there? You know you watch it. You told me.
Yeah, I watched it when my mother was down.
Oh, okay.
And my mother says, I can't believe I watch your show. Yeah, she was watching it all the time.
Still watches.
Yeah.
How good.
Yep.
I tell you what, you can bag it all you like. It's a surviving show.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I think it first aired in 88 or something.
I mean,
Kate Ritchie still on?
No.
No.
Bobby?
She's on the radio now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby.
Yeah, I've been watching
chasing our ratings, Laurie. She's chasing our ratings. She won't get there.
No.
Catch up.
Their ratings are way higher than ours.
Bulldog, we would be remiss of us not to mention this massive story. And I know that it's done by News Corp colleagues of yours on the front and back page of the Australian newspaper today, a statement of claim in the New South Wales Supreme Court lodged by Jackson Topine at the Dogs based on this wrestling session in July last year, which was reported at the time, the wrestling session. And he has lodged a statement of claim, and in that statement of claim, where he's seeking damages for psychiatric injury, deprivation of liberty, humiliation, indignity, physical exhaustion, physical discomfort, anxiety, embarrassment of fear suffered as a result of being late to training. So, and this will all come out in the proceedings that we see in court. And the Bulldogs, by the way, have said that they deny some of the allegations that have been put forward. The exact line here is they will say that there are a number of allegations that we categorically deny. Was what the Bulldogs said in their statement they gave to the Australian reporters that have done this investigation. But this is something that will be very closely watched and spoken about in days to come. But when it hits, obviously, the courts, and details come out and what ramifications there are going forward, depending on what the court finds, by the way. But this is an interesting is the wrong word. But
well, it could be a landmark case.
Landmark, that's what
it could well be a landmark case. This emerged last year. It hit the media in 2023. Jackson Taupine wasn't named at that point. We in the media knew who it was, but we elected not to name him. And I guess this moment, Mido, has been brewing for a long time, and suddenly it's now front page news. I don't know what went on behind closed doors at the Bulldogs. I wasn't inside the gymnasium. It's remiss of me to say too much because it's before the courts, but I would be surprised if any professional rugby league club or sporting club would treat a player so poorly. That would surprise me, Laurie. But again, I don't know. But you read out the list, Mido. It's substantial. It's damaging. And it's shocking when you hear exactly what he has claimed happened to him inside the four walls out there at Belmore. I haven't heard of this before. And I haven't heard of any other Bulldogs player having similar issues.
Yeah, well, I can't add much more to that, Bulldog, because I don't actually know what's occurred and there are allegations and there's always two sides to a story. And as I said earlier this morning, I'm hoping that Jackson's okay and the Bulldogs vehemently deny that anything like this has happened. So you've just got to wait to see the courts rule on what the outcome will be. But I've also said that in footy clubs, you know, part of the drive and the determination to get better is to put you in uncomfortable positions at times and to push you to your limits. That's what they do to get you ready for what you're about to face. But obviously, you've got to do it in a manner that is correct and procedurally fair. So it's a test case, obviously, and we'll see how it all unfolds. I think you said a landmark case, and it possibly is. You know, we've spoken on this program before about, you know, the possibilities of coaches saying something at some point in time, at halftime, after the game, before a game, and someone takes offence to it. How long is it before we see a coach, you know, feel the wrath of something like this?
So lawyers are more and more starting to, I wouldn't say rule our game, but they're starting to engage more in our game, which none of us particularly like. I don't think we want any legal cases pushing through our game. I haven't got last year's reports in front of me, guys, so excuse my ignorance here, but I do recollect he was late for training.
Yep.
And because of that...
And there's some references to that in his statement.
...then told to go and do extras, which Jackson thought was over the top.
Well, we're going to have Dale Finucane on as well when you're with us in the next half an hour, Bulldog. But we'll get to the Sharks soon. Let's get to what we saw in the tunnel last Sunday afternoon between the Knights and the Dogs. Some significant fallout, certainly for that game. And Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie, or Jack Hetherington shaping up to Reid Marnie in the tunnel. For me, there's not much in it. He drew a bit of a line in the sand, do you believe? And in Bulldog's Bite as well. Have you written about it today?
Yeah, it's in Bulldog's Bite. I wrote a piece. Just, I wanted people to think about how the game's evolved. Look, Laurie, I think you were coaching. No, you wouldn't have been coaching. Sorry, it was 2013. Gallen whacks Nate Miles in the chin. After that...
Yeah, I was in that.
The edict.
I was coach.
You were coaching. Yeah, the edict comes out that one punch and you're now sin-binned. And ever since that day, I've thought that chirpy little players have got into the face of the big blokes and they hide behind that rule. They're protected. In the old days, it was an eye for an eye. You said something, boom, you cop one. That's how it was. It was the law of the jungle out in the field. Well, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't. Yeah. Well, I certainly wouldn't.
You came through as a young kid, clearly. I mean, you wouldn't have gone around saying things to big blokes, would you?
No.
Because you knew what was going to happen. Yeah. You cop one. But they've hidden behind this for years now. And in this case, as I've written today, Reid Marnie has mouthed off, but this is different. This bloke said, you know what? I'm going to get square with you. I'll get you up the tunnel. And I just wonder now whether the lippy blokes will continue to be lippy now that there's potential repercussions after the game. I just think it's Jack Hetherington, for all his madness in the field, he's a loose player, albeit he's a very good player. He's drawn a line in the sand. No more crap from little blokes.
Yeah, I know, but you can't do it. That's what Jack did, you can't do. And again, we spoke on the program. We thought maybe a fine was the best outcome, but he's copped a week suspension. And I understand your point of view, Bulldog, because it does annoy me too. The fact that you can be a niggler and get away with it. But the funny thing is, like guys like Reed, Marnie, I would have loved to have played with, but I would have hated to play against. Like, it's the goal, catch 22, isn't it? Yeah, you want them on your side, but you just, they would annoy you so much and they would drag you in to giving away a penalty. And that's what they do. And that's part of their games too.
And get the penalty, you've done a good job. I wrote this, Laurie.
But you can't punch.
The mandate in 13 gave new cockiness to chirping players who knew full well they could mouth off and taunt bigger and tougher rivals without copping an old-fashioned whack in the chops.
Yeah, but we know. The game is changed. So we can't promote. But I understand what you're getting
I'm
at.
Just saying, from now on, maybe they might go, I might just pull back here because these blokes might not want to cop this anymore.
No, exactly right. Yeah.
And I know you can't. I get it. But it was just more along the lines of enough's enough.
Yeah.
And this bloke said, well, okay. I'll go back to the 1960s. I'll wait in the tunnel for you.
Yeah.
And if you want to carry on, I'll stick one on your chops.
Yeah, no, exactly right. But my opinion on that changed as well, because at the time I was like everyone going, mate, let them go. But then as I started to coach my young fella, I would have hated to see him get punched and something serious happened, you know. So I understand why they changed it, and I've sort of then started to get on board with that decision, thinking it's a good decision. But I get your point. I do get your
point. We all hate change laws, particularly when change comes from when we grew up. We loved our game back then. And we always balk when old-fashioned things are changed.
Yeah.
But in time, we learn to accept it.
Yeah,
it's like the punch, like the shoulder charge. I was vehemently against banning the shoulder charge. This is a disgrace. But in the end, you generally come around, perhaps as you get older.
Yeah, and you do, and you see the effects. And the last thing we want to see is someone being hit, regardless of whether it's a king hit or someone just standing there going bing, and someone gets a serious injury from that. I don't think we can allow that to happen in our game. But that's not to say, if a blue broke out in a game of football, you're not sitting there going, "Oh, how good!" So I totally get it. You've also had a little bit of a crack at Buzz.
Yeah, I did.
What's going on?
Well, Buzz did a piece in the Sunday Telly. It goes back to a story I wrote in the back page last week saying that the Blues are looking at Joseph Suaalii. And I think Joseph Suaalii is a wonderful player. And if I was to pick my team, I'd have him on the wing. He's big, he's strong, he's got great run meters, kick goals, and he's a big body coming out of the back. He'd be picked if I was selecting. Buzz then came forward and said, look, we shouldn't pick him or consider him because he is going to rugby union. Now, I've hit back today at Buzz simply saying that I don't think Michael Maguire should, nor will he care who he picks. Michael Maguire's charter is simple. He has to win. He has to win to keep his job.
Pick the best team.
He's got to pick the best team. I'm not saying Joseph Suaalii will be in the team, but he shouldn't be overlooked or ignored simply because he's going to rugby.
Couldn't agree more. Pick the best side.
And I even said if the Kiwis played a mid-year test, hypothetically, would they pick Joey Manu? Of course they would.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there either, Bulldog. And I
let's
love
worry about 25 in 25.
That's exactly right. I love picking a fight with you every Wednesday when you come in, but I can't today.
I can't pick
any holes in your stories because I totally agree with you. If he's the best man for the job, you pick him, regardless of whether he's going to rugby union or not. Madge's job is to win the series. And we've got some depth on the wing, and he'll be fighting it out for a position in the New South Wales team with guys like Lomax and To'o and the Fox. So there's a bit of depth there. I totally agree with you.
I can't believe the debate around James Tedesco not being there.
I can.
He's our captain. He's our leader.
I think he's done a fantastic
job. And I
think
he deserves to be there again for Origin.
Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be there, but I think in terms of debate, yes, there should be a discussion.
Who would you have as fullback?
I'm unsure, but I think the discussion needs to be had. And you'd never make a decision now. You wait until all the information is at your disposal, and then after the weekend's games, before that first Origin selected, then you make your decision. You don't ever pick a team beforehand.
We're seven games in, aren't we? Wasn't Teddy brilliant the first few rounds? I seem to remember him being hailed as the new Teddy. I was in Vegas. He blitzed him over in Vegas. So we're going to now say after three good games and four modest games, you're out?
No. You said the debate. I'm saying, yes, there should be a debate about it. I'm not saying drop him. I'm not saying anything other than, of course you have to discuss who's playing well and who's not playing well. And regardless of whether he's captain in New South Wales or not, you've got to pick, and Madge will, he'll pick the team that he thinks he can win with. And the other thing about Madge is that he hasn't got a strong relationship with a lot of these players, so it's going to be easier for him if he has to make that decision, rather than someone that's been there for the last two or three years as coach, that's had that bond and trust in a captain and a leader.
Clean slate.
Well, that's exactly right.
Is that a pun?
Yeah.
With Billy.
Yeah. So you don't think there should be a debate at all?
Look, we can have a debate. I'm probably over the top there by saying no debate, but I'm saying I wouldn't have anyone tell me that James Tedesco shouldn't be in the side. I'm a Teddy fan.
He's been
there for years. His form in the first few games was brilliant. I just can't see how we seem to, and I do it myself, how we switch around so quickly in rugby league. Three good games in three bad games, and then we want to call someone's head.
See how he goes in the next 4 weeks. But in terms of having a discussion, no, I think we all need to have a discussion. Well, we can discuss it, but Madge will certainly.
What team will he pick, Laurie? You know Madge. Will he pick a hardened team? That's generally how Madge goes. Will he pick on form? Will he stick with his senior players? Will he go with youth?
Oh, I think he'll mix
it up.
Knowing
Madge as we do.
I think he'll mix it up.
Yeah.
I think he'll pick a tough team. I think he'll pick a team.
A team
that
that's got an attitude.
He won't worry about what's happened in the past. I know you can say you're going to pick on form, which he will, but I think there'll be also guys that if they're proven at that level, he'll possibly go with. I think you'll see some changes, most definitely.
It's amazing straight away on the text line. Absolute rubbish. Tedesco isn't even in the top five New South Wales fullbacks. Tom Turbo's the best fullback in New South Wales. Full stop. Everyone's got an opinion, certainly in this state, on
Turbo
the fullback jersey.
He'll just be in the centres.
And the number six jersey is going to be the other one. Well, yesterday we saw Dale Finucane front a press conference to announce he is retiring, well, immediately. 32 years of age, 251 games. And he said, well, the medical advice was that I retire. Five origins for New South Wales, two premierships with the Melbourne Storm in 2017 and 2020. And it's great to have Dale on the line now. Dale, a very good morning, mate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate your time and congratulations on your career. And just yesterday, now that you've had sort of some time to really reflect on it, to what extent, I guess, is there disappointment and frustration that your career has had to end like this? I guess not on your terms.
Yeah, I think it is disappointing that it was ended prematurely and, like you said, not on the terms that I would have liked. In saying that, I did speak to a number of past players and retired players who, had similar issues over the course of their career. And I think one of the things that really helped me around that was the fact that they were, spoke about being grateful for their careers that they did have. And, I'm certainly grateful for that. Obviously I was closer to the end than the start. And, I can reflect on that now and really be happy with it.
Dale, what actually prompted you to seek medical advice? I mean, were you getting headaches or was it just the sheer volume of KOs? What made you want to go in the first place and ask whether you should continue?
Yeah, my wife was obviously a big advocate for it, given that I'd had a number of concussions over the course of my career, and particularly towards the back end in 2021, in my last year at the Melbourne Storm. I'd had two in close succession. The first year at the Sharkies, obviously had two in close succession. I was probably lucky I did my MCL in one of those games, so that I obviously had to have an extended break. But and then obviously, you know, one to start this season. So there's been five there in the course of a short period of time, and probably just the pure frequency of them, which prompted obviously going to see the neurologists and the neuropsychologists. And, you know, as I said yesterday in the press conference, that ultimately concluded the career.
Yeah, and Dale, congratulations, mate, on a wonderful career, a couple of premierships, playing for New South Wales, and you've made a massive impact at every club you've been at. They speak so highly of you. But I was interested in your hearing you speak yesterday, say that, and you spoke highly of the Cronulla Sharks about how they put the person before anything else. And is that how you found one of the reasons to come to this decision as well, that they sat you down and sort of went through the process of sort of telling you about the outcomes that possibly could happen if you decide to continue to play?
Yeah, it was a pretty rigorous process in terms of, you know, seeking the medical advice. And, you know, we didn't just seek one neurologist. We went to another independent neurologist as well. And, you know, that coupled with the fact that the club had had concerns as well. And, you know, obviously my wife had concerns. So it all just added up to, you know, to finishing up. So, yeah, ultimately a very tough decision, but it was a fair process. Obviously, I spoke with the RLPA around potential to return to play and what that would look like. And, you know, I think it got, you know, there were some legalities around it if I looked to come back to play. And it was, in the end of the day, it wasn't able to happen. So, yeah, this is where we landed.
Yeah, it's interesting because I get asked this all the time, but I want to ask it from your perspective, Dale. And my response has always been, of course I would. But in terms of now that you've had to retire from constant knocks, would you allow your kids to play?
Yeah, I think I'd still allow my kids to play. You know, obviously it's, I'm not sure how prevalent it is in kids sport. I know growing up as a kid from, you know, under eights when I started playing, right through to playing NRL, I don't think I got any concussions prior to that. There's a lot of rules in place now, I guess, with the, you know, tackles under the armpits for the kids. And, you know, I think it's a safe game for kids to play. I'd be happy for my boys to be, you know, partaking. But, so no issues from me from that point of view.
Dale, you were so regimented in your career. You did everything right. You were methodical. How are you going to find the adrenaline rush, which isn't there anymore?
It's funny talking about the being rigid and the structure around it, I guess. And, you know, even, for example, trying to hold a certain weight. I spoke to my wife yesterday morning about, you know, eating and needing to be a certain weight. She's like, you don't need to be 104 kilos anymore. So it was funny. It's just the things that I've sort of popped up recently where I'm like, oh, I actually don't. It's not essential that I am doing certain things. But just because it's been so ingrained in me for the last, you know, 13 years playing professionally, that, you know, it's second nature, and it's going to be difficult to get out of those habits that I've done for so long.
Do you want to stay involved in the game, Dale? And you might want to be a coach, but I just see you as being a great strength and conditioning person. Just someone.
That's probably what my passion is, to be honest. I'm not so sure about coaching. I really enjoy the, you know, the strength conditioning side of things, and really passionate about that. I did a degree while I was playing football around sort of health and movement, so that's probably something where obviously I'll be staying on at the club in some capacity. We haven't really spoken in great depth of what that looks like, but you know, that's certainly one area that I'd like to upskill myself in and be around the boys particularly.
Dale, what do you think your legacy will be? What do you think former teammates will say about you in years to come as a player?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard. I've tried to reflect as best I can, but it's still sort of very fresh to me at the moment. Obviously, I only told the playing group yesterday and made it public, obviously, as well. But, you know, I obviously received a fair few messages over the last day, and sort of just getting back to everyone that it's been hard to sort of grab a minute to reflect on, you know, my career so far and, you know, what the legacy would be. But to be honest, I just, you know, I'd love to be known as a player that people enjoy playing with and, you know, obviously the team first person. And, you know, that's obviously the way that everyone likes to be remembered and a player that someone would love to be play, that love to play with.
Yeah, you played with three clubs, the Dogs, Storm and the Sharks. Were they all different systems? Were they all similar? How did you find each club and how did you adapt?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, when I started the Bulldogs with Des Hasler, he was very science-based. He was very sort of scientific around, you know, getting measurements in terms of your maximum heart rates and distances, run on the field, and meters per minute, and all those sorts of things. And that was probably my first introduction into, you know, real professionalism around, you know, data and numbers with rugby league. And, yep. You know, similar moving down to Melbourne, not so much Craig Bellamy himself, but the performance staff down there were similarly minded. And that's obviously the way that the game's gone now, is obviously around, you know, different training loads and what you can and can't do. But yeah, all, like, subtle differences obviously throughout the course of my career. But in terms of coaches and demeanour, I guess, you know, Fitzy's probably the calmest demeanour of the coaches that I've dealt with. And that's not to say one's a right way and one's a wrong way, but, you know, he's obviously different to what Des and Craig Bellamy are. They're obviously, can be hot-headed at times, but they're obviously, in saying that, they get the best out of their players and obviously their results have, you know, spoken for that.
Dale, why can the Sharks win the premiership this year?
Oh, honestly, I'm really excited. I actually didn't realise, I hadn't been looking at the ladder, realise obviously we're sitting on top at the moment. But I think just the game that we played against the Cowboys on the weekend was probably the biggest sign for me, given that, you know, defensively we were really strong. And I think, you know, statistically, a top four side hasn't won a premiership, maybe outside of the 2015 Cowboys side, I think, in the last decade. So I think, you know, we're working towards that and being really strong defensively. And, you know, our tackle flow, we've got some real strike players. So, you know, if our defence can hold strong, I'm really confident that you know, we can give it a real shake-up.
Dale, I Googled you last night to get some questions for this morning, and there's nothing there. You're a clean skin. We in the tabloid media journalists, we need some dirt, but you've given us nothing.
You'll have to ask around me and they might have something.
Well, I actually found out there was two nicknames that you went by and I'm unsure of which one stuck. There was Rambo and there was also Chaos.
Yeah. So the Chaos stemmed from back in my Bulldogs days. There's a free workout supplement. It's called Chaos.
You're right.
Which sort of gives you, it tingles your skin and it makes you feel a little bit funny. I used to go pretty mad on the Chaos back in the day. And I used to be pretty jacked up pre-game. And the Rambos stemmed from, obviously, Rambo, the Sylvester Stallone with the head tape and the... Yeah, I still haven't seen the movie. Jason Riles has told me to watch the movie a number of times. I still need to get to it.
Love it. Well, mate, once again, congratulations on your career and all the best in the transition into retirement. And thanks for your time this morning.
No worries, fellas. Thank you very much for having me on.
Jale Finucane there, and Bulldog, thank you. Thanks. You for your contribution. Are you proud of Laurie's questions this morning?
No, very good. I've taught him well.
Yeah.
I'm off regalos.
This morning in the Premier League, Arsenal 5-0 over Chelsea. Just a complete shellacking of the ordinary Chelsea side. So Arsenal, 34 games played, 4 to go on 77 points. Liverpool, 33 games, 74 points. Manchester City, 32 games, 73 points. The race for the title. And Chelsea, there they are in ninth position with 47 points and 6 games left to play in their pretty ordinary season there at Stamford Bridge. And Loz, just a reminder, we're not on air tomorrow, Anzac Day. We'll be back Friday and we'll be at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide. Live Golf. It's going to be an experience, Loz. Looking forward to it. And we're going to speak to the tournament director, Nick Haslam, shortly. But a unique experience for Australian sport having this tournament here. And it sounds like demand has gone through the roof. You said you know quite a few people going across from Sydney.
Most definitely I do. And I think it's off the back of last year and what they saw and the atmosphere that it created. And that's exactly what LIV is about, a little bit different. And we don't get to see a lot of these golfers in Australia all that often. So when you get a chance to see them, you're going to go down there and support them along with the Australians. So I think Adelaide's a terrific place to have it. It'll be well supported once again. I'm looking forward to seeing it through my own eyes and reporting back to our listeners on Monday.
Beautiful. We will have Evan Priest and Adam Pengilly at various stages joining us on Friday morning as well. Ahead of day one.
Who are you going to follow?
The LIV tournament.
Well, are you going to follow or are we just going to sit and watch?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what access we've got at the moment. No. But certainly
we've got
to go
all
and
access
watch
passes.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, we just drop your name. You're big in South Australia. From when you went and played against the Rams in 97, that would have been.
Massive.
You and Modra.
Tony Modra, yes.
For our listeners in South Australia, they'll be rolling their eye, but like, at his peak, one of the greatest to watch of all of them, Loz. When you think all those full forwards in the AFL in the 80s and 90s, he was the most.
But he had the looks too, didn't he?
Oh,
Tony Modra.
He did.
And he could leap.
The hair.
Yeah. They were a wonderful side when Malcolm Blight took them to back-to-back premierships. Darren Jarman.
Yeah.
He had the big quarter, didn't he? Last quarter.
He did.
He kicked, three goals?
Well, it was especially, was it the 97 prelim when they, I think they were 5 goals down against the Western Bulldogs and they won the prelim.
And I think he backed it up in the grand final.
He did. He's a superstar. Andrew McLeod, I think, was Norm Smith medalist.
Yeah, what a player.
Oof, great player.
Bickley, Mark Bickley.
Yeah, here we are dropping Adelaide names ahead of our trip to South Australia.
Oh, Simon Goodwin, current coach of Melbourne.
Melbourne, Sean Wren.
Yeah, Ruckman. Mm. Jeez, I can remember some names.
So, that's where we'll be on Friday morning. Really looking forward to it. We had a huge show this morning. If you missed any of it, wherever you get your podcast, just search Big Sports Breakfast. But didn't quite get stuck into the game as a preview as a whole. But, Loz, we were up to Storm and Bunnies tomorrow on Anzac Day tomorrow night at Amy Park. And the Bunnies, significant outsiders with Tab. They're 0 for 11 at Amy Park, by the way. They're $4.50 head-to-head with Tab. The Storm are $1.20 or minus 13.5 is the line for this game. And are you officially, as I put your feet in the fire right now, officially tipping South Sydney to upset the Melbourne Storm tomorrow night?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I think South's coming off the bye. They'll be fresh. They will have watched and analysed their own performances, plus watch Melbourne. And I just get a feeling that they're a good side that'll get the job done against Melbourne. I think if they move the ball, yes, they've got to defend a lot better. But I thought there were signs there against Cronulla, who are a very good side. Cronulla are a very good side. Very consistent footy team. They put 24 on but conceded, 32, 34 or something? So I reckon if they can score 20 points, 24 points, they can win the game. And that's what I'm backing them to do. And I think they move the ball. I think Melbourne can struggle against sides that move the ball. And if they're consistently prepared to take a few chances, I don't think South can win just through completions and going forward and kicking and playing into Melbourne's hands. I think they've really got a challenge. Maybe create a few offloads, shift the ball from inside their own half and go after the game. I think if they have that attitude, I think they can win. I've seen some sides go down there to Melbourne. Like the Raiders have a great record against them. Like the Dogs, when they played them there a couple of weeks ago, they just moved the ball. And when you do that, you just break up their system so well. Mm. So that's what I'm banking on. See us just coming out with a clear mind, clear instructions of how they're going to play and how they're going to go about it and getting the job done.
It's interesting you said with Melbourne as well, off the back of last Thursday night's game against the Roosters, you believe they're playing a bit more expansive as well at the moment.
Yes, I do. Melbourne, yeah. Mm. And I think that will help them at the back end of the year. But I think it still looks to the eye, clunky is probably not the word, but it's not as fluent as some of the other teams that are using the ball. So I think they've got a lot of improvement to come. But just with the way that they defend, they can press right up. There's some yards coming out of trouble that you can take advantage of, so you can get out of trouble quite easily. But if they get you in a cage on a sideline, they just hunt up really quickly and you're not prepared to move the ball and you go one out. They just keep you in that space and all of a sudden you're kicking from 30 metres off your own line and, you know, the fullback's hitting the ball, Pappenhausen, and they're returning it straight back into you and they can be in control for the next 10 minutes and in that period they might be able to put on a try or two. But they've got a great work rate in everything they do. They compete hard, Melbourne. But, yeah, no, it's just a feeling. Look, I could be completely wrong. Could be off my head, but I think they're going to give a great account of themselves. And the emotion of the day too, I think that will get them up. I mean, you've got to respect Anzac Day and to respect that as a sporting team. When you get the opportunity to play on Anzac Day, you know what it's all about. You know, you've got to give a performance that reflects the day.
And, well, they have Damien Cook back at hooker. So Peter Mamazella starts from the bench. Jai Arrow's back from a shoulder injury. That's big. And Cam Murray has passed those concussion protocols. He's good to go. They have lost Tevita Totola to a foot injury for a significant period of time, though, as well. And Craig Bellamy, he's named Big Nelson to start. And Christian Welch to come off the bench. Love listening to your tips, Loz. I'm backing Melbourne 13 plus. That's just
Could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. But I think South can give a great account of themselves tomorrow.
Hey, Loz, why is it Storm v Bunnies and not the Warriors like it normally is on Anzac Day? Asked Tom. The Warriors wanted to host a game at home, and naturally Melbourne didn't want to give up because it's usually Melbourne Warriors.
Yeah.
So the Warriors, I think, requested to host a game on Anzac Day, which is well deserved. And naturally, the Storm wanted to continue to host a game on Anzac Day as well. So we've put another game on. We've got three games. I think it's a win for everyone, isn't it? Three great games of footy.
The more games, the better.
Yeah.
I reckon if we could get four on, we would have loved four. But you've got to space them out over the weekend because of the broadcasters. They've got deals in place as well. But, you know, it'll be enormous over there in New Zealand. I think it's already sold out.
Mm.
And then you've got the traditional game where the Dragons take on the Roosters. I think it's the Dragons home game this year, and then the Storm and South, and I think that'll go close to a packed stadium as well.
Certainly will, and we were talking about with Bulldog earlier, the New South Wales number one jersey. Surely Dylan Edwards gets his chance in the one jersey if Teddy isn't picked. Tommy Turbo's injury prone. Latrell's probably rated 15 in the fullbacks in the competition now. No name to that one. But just considering Dylan Edwards, we saw him play on the wing, didn't we, for the Kangaroos?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about that other wing spot with Brian To'o expected to get one wing position, of course, for New South Wales. The other one seemingly up for grabs. Well, Dylan Edwards would have to be, based on the fact he played for Australia on the wing, would have to be a candidate for that jersey as well, if not fullback, if he's not in that conversation.
You know what? I think you consider Dylan Edwards as just a fullback.
Yeah.
I think you just look at him as a fullback, and if he doesn't get a run as fullback, I think there's other wingers there that are genuine wingers. I think that that would be the way they would go. I don't think you'll see Dylan play on the wing. May well do, but I think there's enough depth there in the wings to put specialists there rather than converting a fullback to go there. But it'll be an interesting debate about who the fullback will be because, you know, if Teddy shoots the lights out in the next 4 weeks, we know what Dylan Edwards has done consistently now for the last 3 years. You've got Turbo sitting there that, you know, is as good as any fullback in the game, and it'd be a shame if he goes through his career without playing fullback for New South Wales. You'll just sit back and go, how did that ever happen?
Yeah.
So it's a good position for New South Wales to be in.
Of course, there were the periods where Andrew Johns, remember, he couldn't get selected in the seven jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you forget about that too, don't you? You know, but I think what happened, he was named a lot as nine, but played as a seven. And Tubes used to always jump into the scrum and dummy half. But here you go. I think I don't think Brett Mullins ever played fullback for New South Wales.
Gosh.
I'm pretty sure Mullins always played on the wing.
Tim Brasher.
Brash, yeah.
Was there a lot, wasn't he, at the time?
And bloody hell, what a player he was at State of Origin. Well, he was a great player anyway.
Yeah, but he did
at Origin,
live for Origin, didn't he?
Yeah.
With your
most
sides.
Definitely he did.
And you spoke about what should Newcastle do, and you'd prefer to see a specialist fullback there for them with Caelan Ponga out, and they've done exactly that, Loz, for their match against the Dolphins. David Armstrong from Mungindi gets the nod at fullback with Caelan Ponga injured, of course.
Good raps on this young kid. Very, very fast, elusive, can score a try. Looking forward to seeing how he goes. Obviously, knowing he's got that position now, he'll be comfortable because I think they'll give him time. Like, it's not like you're in for 1 week, mate, and we'll see what you've got. I think this is a moment where they've gone, let's think long and hard about who's going to be the replacement for Caelan, because we don't want to be chopping our spine around too much. So I think they've sort of selected him looking at the next month. And this is the person who we want to play in that position. So he's got a great opportunity to show everyone what he's capable of doing. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays, and also looking forward to seeing how Newcastle may look to play differently and whether they centralise their attack a little bit more through the middle. Not so much reliant on Caelan, seeing what other players jump out of the ground, take a bit more responsibility. Who are the ones that are going to turn the game? Who are the ones that want the ball in their hand when the game's on the line or something needs to be done? So it's a big sort of couple of months coming up for the Newcastle.
Steve Hewlett, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Jared. Good morning, everyone. Look, we're going to break some news on Racing HQ in about a half an hour's time. There's been a high-profile racing figure in Queensland has resigned in the past 24 hours, and we'll have that news. We'll also catch up with Chief Executive Officer Steve Lyons at the Gold Coast. We really need to get the latest on this track. We haven't raced there since the Jewel Day, which was back in March, and we know there were issues with the track that day. We're counting down to the Hollandale Stakes on May 11, and there's a $1 million race under lights at the Gold Coast, May 24, a Friday night. So we'll get the latest on the lights and the track with Steve Lyons. Also, Joe Pride, his three big-name sprinters are all heading to Queensland. We're pretty excited about that. Private Eye Marzu, think about it. We'll talk to Joe. Jerome Hunter's got a really promising youngster that hasn't raced but debuting odds on today at Geelong called Sue Spirit. And David Fowler will speak to Tony Gollan and Paul Shaler. And that's just coming up in the first hour this morning. So busy morning.
Yeah, intrigued to what that breaking news will be.
Yes.
So we'll tune in.
A guy you know pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
Yep.
On Radio Tab with Steve soon. Thank you, Steve. We'll catch you shortly.
No worries.
Okay, Steve Hewlett coming up with some breaking news soon. What are we watching here, Loz, by the way, on our screens, our monitors in the studio? Hangover-free bar. This is on the Today Show. We're just seeing the strap, the graphic on the bottom of the screen. Hangover-free bar. Drinks mixed with Nashi pear to prevent hangovers.
So you still have alcohol with the pear?
Yeah. And are you
guaranteed
hangover? Like, how do you know it's hangover free? We're all different. Some people still might give them a raging headache.
That's exactly
if you have,
right. Well, if you have,
well,
too
if I have
much.
15 vodkas, and just because it's with Nashi pear, is that going to solve my problem?
Yeah. Well, I'll need to send you in. We'll send Stanley in.
Yeah,
Stanley likes those type of drinks.
He does. Dave Stanley, good morning.
Turn it up.
Well, you'll drink.
I'll drink anything, but I'm not going to.
I know you got your
tee
gin
off
range,
with the Nashi.
But won't you get on the Nashi?
Oh, no, leave me out.
No, get on the Nashi pear.
I mean, like,
is that slang for anything? Nashi pear?
No, I don't
well,
think so.
Or they turn us up.
Is I don't think up? So.
No,
it's just one of these, you know, these articles that comes out like it's like the old, you know, every couple of months you see the article pop up on Today. You know, drink more coffee; it's good for you. Mm. You know, beer is good for you. Red meat, it's just the cycle. So now it's the Nashi pear. It's made the
you know what I heard last night, and I'm going to do it today.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I turn
it
up.
No.
Well, they said having a sauna is good for your heart. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but I'm going to go straight to a sauna today.
So hang on, but I thought the ice was good. That's what Pup's
ice
is on the...
No,
he's on
they're
the,
both good.
Yeah. So you know, have you
I didn't
heard
know
that?
It's. I haven't
so basically
heard.
Basically, just
it's
going and doing something.
Yeah. I don't reckon if you're in there for an hour and a half, it's good for your
I still
heart.
Can't,
put it that way.
I still can't get that photo or picture out of my mind with Stanley in there with the form guide that day.
With the eyes. Oh, yeah, that was the best.
I walked that in and best. I'm like, what?
But how, like, it would have, everything.
The ink was going everywhere. And then I had the fog glasses, but I was determined to read the form. I was determined because I was getting some pressure because it's like, you know, when one of the greats of rugby league says to you, get in the sauna, well, I said, well, mate, I've got to do some work and form.
It was one of
your best. Not just lucky numbers today.
That was up there. You know what that was up there with? The day you jumped on the rowing machine.
That's right. Loz said, come down to the gym.
Have a guess what he jumped on with. He had his thongs on.
had the thongs.
Hard to keep his feet into the straps with the thongs on.
Yep. And the boys were getting right into it, and I just wanted to yarn. I wanted to talk about what was, you know, where were we going to go for dinner? Had that joint down there. It's got some, you know, the happy hour on, and, then, you know, pumping away, sweating, and I'm going, what
they were funny days, David. Funny
they were.
Days.
They were. They still are funny days, yeah. Boys. And I'm looking forward to you boys getting down to the Wagga next week. Now, I don't know if you've spoken with Barney. I had Barney on the program yesterday, David Barnhill, mm-hmm. and obviously he's still doing a bit of stuff for Harvest and running the Punters Club, and that Calcutta's going to be huge. They've spent an absolute fortune, the Harvest Group, on this pub, like doing up
William
the William Farrah Hotel.
When was it open, Dave?
It opened last Saturday, Barney told me. I said, because there was all these wild rumours going around, because people obviously driving past and seeing, you know, scaffolding and whatnot, thinking, well, hang on a second, how are they going to run the Calcutta? How are they going to be ready for the Cup? Well, they're open. They'll be open. They opened last Saturday. They're obviously big day there planned tomorrow for Anzac Day, after all the services and ceremonies tomorrow in Wagga. And then this weekend, it'll be a good little test run for the weekend ahead for Wagga Cup. So obviously we're going to be there Friday morning broadcasting live. You guys will be there as well, no doubt Thursday night for the Calcutta. And we all roads lead there after the races. So it's going to be a good time of the year. They're pretty pumped to have you boys down there. I know Barney was sort of into you on air, Loz. He said, well, he's not going to go soft again. Is he staying? I said, yeah, I think he'll be there.
Did I go soft last year?
Well, I couldn't recall. I couldn't remember. But maybe you did.
No, I think we stayed.
Yeah, but I don't know. Look, I did say on air that, you know, after Europe knocked you about, you haven't been the same. So hopefully...
No, we came home. We had something else on.
This is a resurgence.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, though. But we left halfway through the day. The year before we didn't.
Ah, right.
But we did last year.
Last year. I apologise.
That was last year when we turned up and the bloke said, I was with Marlo, and he said, jockeys, and he pointed us both. And I said,
right.
And then I was worried, like the RSPCA or someone was going to jump out and think I was a jockey. Fair dinkum. Very interested to hear what the big news from Steve Hewlett is. We will be listening down the line as well. If you're wanting to listen to Steve's program as well, bottom of the Tab app, you've got Sky Sports Radio and you've got Radio Tab. So if you wanted to hear that breaking news around 9:30 this morning, you can. I'm going to chat this morning with Annabelle Neesham. I've spoken with Annabelle. Big news about Amelia's Jewel jumping into her stable. There was a lot of rumours going around that could be a Chris Waller, could be heading to John O'Shea, could be heading elsewhere. But Annabelle Neesham is where we're going to see Amelia's Jewel race. So we're going to chat with Annabelle. And or Rob Archibald. We've got them both teed up. There is a lot going on this morning because they're heading up to Newcastle, so hopefully we can get Annabelle and Rob. Then we'll chat with Mitch Cohen. Joe Pride will join me after 9:30. Joe, as Steve just said, all of his big guns are heading north, so our Queensland audience are in for a treat. Tommy Berry, James Heddo, Jason Ferrario, and Brett Devine. That's going to be our guest lineup today, and we're going to try and find your winner, guys.
Lovely, mate. We'll catch you in Adelaide on Friday.
No, mate.
Not
I'll
you.
Be...
I was talking a lot. Oh, actually,
right.
Really.
I was going to say, because I will be, hopefully, have a big headache. I'll be rough like I was last week in Orange Boys when I spoke to you down the line, and I'll be celebrating a Dragons victory. And have a very special day, everyone out there, tomorrow, because it is
big time.
A very, very, very special day.
Good on you, Dave.